Welcome, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners will reconvene. Moving along now to item number 10, discussion of possible action. Selection of a candidate to serve as the next county manager, conditioned upon passing the background investigation and successful negotiating of salary with the current county manager and the board chairman. The board may also direct the current county manager and our consultant to take action or actions for other properly related matters.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I want to acknowledge my typo. The agenda and the staff report, I believe, says successful negation of salary. That's obviously a totally different word. It is negotiation. So continuing on, this is really decision time. If you think about how particularly Planning Commission does an awful lot of things, they have workshops. And then you move from a workshop with no action, much the same as what we've just done through these interviews, and now it's decision time. Linda and I talked a lot, including, again, today, kind of on the fly. And, again, I want to compliment her profusely for her professionalism and her support. I mentioned as I developed the staff report pretty late on Friday that we were anticipating maybe up to three things that could happen, therefore the recommended motions that are in your staff report. But to be honest with you, as the days unrolled, we kind of looked at maybe even a fourth. So I'm going to just kind of lay these out for you. And then really it's open mic for the three of you. This is a possible action, so you're certainly able and I think obligated to take public comment. Linda and I will answer anything about any part of the process or anything that you feel appropriate to ask us. But the options that Linda and I see and some of the suggestions that go with it, or caveats, if you will, are as follows. You've heard from three people and processed a tremendous amount of information today. I've done these types of interviews before, and that's not easy. So one of your options is select a candidate today, and that would be contingent upon a background and salary negotiations, as is listed in your first choice. Number two, certainly, because of the volume of information, you could take additional time to consider the answers that have been provided through the interviews and continue a selection perhaps until the next meeting or a subsequent meeting. Number three, you certainly could direct Linda and I to re-advertise for possible candidates. But it is our consideration, and I believe I shared with you an article I came across, or Linda came across, sometime over the weekend, I think, or yesterday. There's a couple of things that you probably want to consider if you're going to go back out to re-advertise again. One, Linda gave you a great summary as to why we lost certain candidates, and one of those reasons, conceivably, could be the salary range. And please, that would only be for your next candidate, not me. I'm not encouraging you to raise my salary. But salary range, Douglas County just finally picked another county manager, and they're at either 200 or above 200. I tried to validate what they're at. That's the market. The other part of the market is, even though we're so close to Reno and Carson City, we are rural Nevada. And thank God we are. But in all truth, you may want to look at the residency requirements. As much as it pains me to think about that, it is inhibiting some of your candidates. Not that these three candidates, are not quality candidates, but if you want to broaden the pool, those are the two items that Linda and I feel that you should give some consideration. In your fourth option, and I'm going to throw a number out there only because I'm inclined to do so, you could hire a bigger recruiting firm than Linda is and I am in helping her and her helping me. They may be already working with professionals that have people in their back pocket, but we were also kind of warned, I think, or questioned early on, like, are we front-end loading the recruiting process enough? And we got applications from Pennsylvania, from Miami-Dade, Florida, from California, from Ohio, I think. So we cast a pretty broad net, particularly with that governmentjobs.com. We attracted these three candidates and maybe even excluding our internal candidate, Austin, for just one brief moment, we attracted Mr. Connect and we attracted Marina Works. And coincidentally today, I happen to follow all articles through Google that use the word Tesla and Nevada in the same sentence or same article. And this newspaper firm, periodical, whatever they want to call themselves, who I'm not familiar with, said Tesla's, once again, having difficulty in recruiting, particularly software engineers, I believe it was, in the Bay Area. And they talked about their acquisition costs of running between $30,000 and $40,000. So I'm going to caution you, if you want a bigger firm, it comes in at a much bigger price tag than Linda has. So those are kind of the options as we see them. Linda, did I miss anything that you might want to reasonably consider? We work at your direction. If there's a consensus choice, we'll go with that on any of the options.
Very good. Thanks, Pat. And Linda, thank you for your effort you put into this. I know it's painstaking. We appreciate it. I mean, we've gone from an initial list of 18 candidates, and the three candidates that you provided us today, I think, are all exceptional candidates. And so I'm confident of the candidates that are before us today that we could find one. I think it would be a nice fit for the county. I'm prepared to vote on it today. I'll see what my other colleagues here, what their thoughts are on this. Jay?
First of all, I do want to thank everybody that's been a part of the process. It's been very interesting. Obviously, some good candidates have come out of the search. It is a huge decision. I think everybody's aware of that. I would prefer to table this matter at least until the next meeting. Give me some time to digest all of the information that I've been given. And I personally, I know there's a time frame, but I don't want to rush to this decision. There's some great candidates, and I want to make sure that I make the right decision.
Okay. Vice Chairman?
I'm inclined to agree with Jay. I think probably for this term, my term in office, this is probably the decision with the most far-reaching consequences for our county. We're choosing somebody that's going to be here for the next 10, 20 years. So I really enjoyed meeting everybody here today. I enjoyed the process. I thought it was well done. And I, too, want to take a little time to digest what I've seen and what I've heard. And the other thing I'd request of staff is the opportunity. I can't remember the term, but one of our candidates suggested that she does some one-on-one meetings now and then. And she has a term that she used for that, and I've never heard of that before. But I'd like to consider a one-on-one meeting in the future so that I can meet a candidate personally. And have some questions. I think that perhaps Keith could join us so that we're under supervision, so that we're not doing it in a vacuum, if you will. But Keith could keep us on the straight and narrow. But I would ask staff to consider a continuance and the opportunity for those of us that want it to maybe break bread a little bit and meet in a quiet moment. And I don't mean a meal, but a cup of coffee. And I'd like a little more conversation one-on-one. So I would join Jay on that motion and ask for a continuance. And maybe for a second meeting from now, give us maybe 30 days to look at it or so.
Okay. And I did do a bit of legal research. And I'll ask Keith, I guess, to go ahead and address the opportunities and availabilities of one-on-one.
Well, that was a question that came up during the course of this process, and there's nothing about the open meeting law that would prohibit a single member of the Board of County Commissioners to meet one-on-one with an individual to gain further information. That whatever information is gained can't be discussed with other members of the board, because then you're having a deliberation towards a decision, which has to be done in an open meeting. But an individual one-on-one conversation is fine, and it can be set up. My recommendation would be that make sure that there is somebody there to keep minutes or keep track of what's said, and so there's a record of what occurs. But yeah, it can be done.
And I think, Commissioner Gilman, in anticipation of your question, if you would agree, I kind of like your inclusion of Keith being there. You know, the HR world is probably all three of these applicants know, Linda knows, most of us know because we're trained, you know, is a very touchy, you have to be very careful. That's why we made you ask the same questions the same way every time today. I would recommend, if you're comfortable, that actually two of us be present. I'd offer myself, and then as long as Keith has no issues, I think, again, I'd welcome him. I'm crippled right now because my HR director is an applicant. So I've had to do some, you know, some things, and thank goodness for Keith and Linda. But if you wanted to continue that to allow for those one-on-one interviews, that's certainly something that we're prepared to do. And I agree with you. I happen to know the schedules of most of the commissioners, and I think we would need, if we were going to give any of you the opportunity to do that, should you choose to, that we would want to make sure that all of you had that opportunity if you wanted. So we'd need to probably continue until, I believe, the April 2nd meeting.
The 16th, I believe. The next meeting is the 2nd.
Yeah.
If you want, that's only 2 weeks off, right?
Oh, excuse me, am I wrong? Okay.
So we need to go to April the 16th if we want to make the 2nd.
Yes.
Please.
I apologize. And then before a real motion is made, we want to clarify a couple of things. I'd like to, with Keith, we use two different phrases, one from Commissioner Carmona, one from Commissioner Gilman. Continuance would be the appropriate phrase, not table. Table has some legal thing that...
Parliamentary.
Yeah, so we'd want to continue this if that's what you choose to do. And then we'd also like your guidance. Do you want to solicit additional candidates, or do you simply want to get to know these three qualified candidates, you know, a little better?
I would feel best if I was able to look at all the applicants from day one. I'd like to review all the applications and then essentially possibly the opportunity to meet with each candidate individually just to deal with maybe a few questions that have come up.
We'll get you the redacted applications. Redacted just means phone numbers and that type of stuff.
Sure.
Social Security, well, we don't ask those, but... Anyway, if you put that in your motion, we'll get each of you a full set of those.
Okay.
Good with that, Keith? You good with all that?
Yeah.
Okay. So no excuse me, sorry.
I guess I have one question of Commissioner Carmona.
Yes.
You mean the 18 original applicants or the three that are here today?
I would like all 18 applicants.
We're going to have to probably get back to you. You know, in many cases, we did not get releases from those.
That would be my one concern.
Yeah, so we would basically be disclosing information and making it available to the public. I think we're going to need to get to you. I can probably give you something like a...
I have a spreadsheet that I did that lists the qualifications of all the candidates. If we could give that to you without their names... Perhaps that will give you the information you need.
Yep.
Because we specifically had applicants sign a release that their information would go public.
Sure.
And I'm afraid that once we give you that information, it's public, and we would want to do that to the other applicants that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, my goal would be to look at their
qualifications, certainly.
Look at their employment history.
Certainly.
And then that would, again, I think that would make me feel comfortable.
Sure.
With my final decision.
Let me work up. I'll do up a matrix with that information, their education and their experience.
Perfect.
And give that to you. Won't have names on it, and that way we won't
names
have to worry
relevant.
About that.
Yeah.
And that should give you an idea what kind of screening, you know,
sure.
Who didn't make that cut.
Or you know, just again to look at the applicants that we got,
mm-hmm.
You know, just to see.
Sure.
I would appreciate that.
You know, as a follow-up, I'd be curious, and I really don't have, I'm not at a decision point, but We have a requirement that the individual that takes the job must live here in the county or move. And I know there are a lot of folks out there that have deep roots wherever they are, but they're in close proximity, if you will, to our county. So I'd just like to discuss that maybe here at the table among the, because we have a requirement that you live in Story County, and I know some other counties have that same requirement. So, but I don't know enough about it, so I'd like to learn some things here at the table if we could, and why we do that, and is it that critical?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We do make exceptions at the next level below me. We've got senior department heads that live outside the county for a reason. But in general, historically, we have either required it, we've done exceptions on a case basis only. Dean Haymore was one. The reason is that if we're representing the taxpayers out there and the citizens, we honestly want to be able to say we're one too. It's that pretty much that simple. If we're spending a taxpayer dollar, we're spending our dollar as well as everybody else's out there.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Huh? The living requirement.
You know, initially I'm okay with the living requirement. I mean, I'd like to drink the same water if possible. I do realize that housing is difficult here. You know, you either want to live in Lockwood, Rainbow Bend. Living in the Highlands takes a special human being. I live there. It's okay.
Well put.
Yeah. And, you know, Virginia City's maybe hard to come by, but there are some lots here. I would personally like to see, you know, if no applicant ever wanted to move here, then I would say maybe we could open that up. You know, but if folks are willing to move here, I'd like to at least, you know, see them live here.
Well, and I'll look again at Linda just to nod her head, hopefully. To the best of my knowledge, as we went through those, particularly those 18 to 8, and of those 8, there was, as I recall, only one that was not able to move into the county.
That's correct.
Because of family circumstances.
Yeah. You know, if that was a problem we could extend when they had to move here by, I would say, you know.
Well, that's a good thought that we had. I know Douglas County just set a time period, and it was either 6 months or a year. My recommendation is we mimic what Douglas County just did.
Yeah. There'll be some for sale signs in the Highlands for sure after this winter. So. I don't think that.
And I will state, just for the benefit of all three applicants that are in the room, is all three of those were made aware of the requirement and confirm their willingness.
Okay, so before I ask for a motion to continue this to April the 16th, we'll open up for public comment.
Okay.
Any public comment on item 10? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, do you want to make a motion?
Yes. I, Commissioner Carmona, move to continue this matter to the April 16th Commission meeting at 10 a.m. here in the Story County Courthouse. In addition, I would like the opportunity to look at all 18 applications. Does that cover us?
I think what we're going to do is get a kind of spreadsheet rather than the applications themselves.
You want to leave it open, the application?
I guess what we're asking for is direction to staff to submit to you a matrix of all the qualifications of all applicants.
Okay.
Without names, addresses, those types of things that we were not released.
Redact.
They're not authorized to release.
So you want the entire motion again?
Yes, please.
Okay. I, Commissioner Carmona, move to continue this matter to the April 16th Commission meeting at 10 a.m. here in the Story County Courthouse. I would also like the opportunity to see the redacted applications put into a matrix with all the personal information removed.
Well, we can't do the
report. Not the applications, but you said the information from the applications.
Okay.
Are we good with that?
With the motion, do we need to address the one-on-one meetings? Does it need to be included in the motion?
No.
I'll second the motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Okay.
Cool. Thank you, Linda.
Thanks for being here.
We'll be talking. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Before we move on, Mr. Chairman, I know the agenda allows us to make certain changes. I just want to announce now so that everybody knows, on staff in particular, that we will be not hearing or participating in item 19, the closed session. We'll deal with that on another meeting day.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Moving along now to item number 11, discussion of possible action. Renewal of the residential construction tax requested by the Scurry County School District. And in attendance today, we have Scurry County School Superintendent Todd Hess.
And Finance Director Christian.
And Finance Director Christian.
Chandler. Chandler, thank you. Donna Blank.
I guess if I'd looked into the audience, I could have helped you out there.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Todd Hess, Superintendent, Story County School District, for the record.
And Kristen Chandler, Business Manager.
First of all, I want to thank the three of you for the vetting process that you're doing and looking for a great county manager. You know, they say in organizations the number one thing you can do is hire well. Obviously, you've done a lot of due diligence in that. They also say in comedy, the worst thing to do is to follow a better act, and that's what this person is going to be charged with, because the job that Pat Whitten has done on behalf of Story County and with Story County Schools has been remarkable. So I really appreciate all of Mr. Whitten's dedication. At our last school board meeting, we passed a resolution to ask the Story County Commissioners to approve a change in our residential construction tax. A little history on it. It was Story County approved a residential tax back in almost 40 years ago in 1981. At that time, it was $500 per for construction on any new home. So it's not for an old home. It's not for an apartment. It's just for a new residential construction. In the last 3 years, we've never changed that. It's always been stuck at $500. In the last 3 years, Story County's taken in $19,000 a year, or $19,000 total for that residential construction tax. So about $6,400 a year is what it's averaging here in Story County. NRS 387-331 allows for residential construction tax for school districts whose population is less than 55,000. So for our neighbors, you know, Washoe and Carson, they're not affected by this. Our neighbors that are under 55,000, they're all at $1,600 per year, which is the match that NRS puts on that. That includes Lyon County, Churchill County, Knight County, and others. Our capital improvement projects team, which a number of us are a part of, we met about a month and a half ago. I followed up with County Manager Pat Whitten on it. The monies would go to a number of different things, mostly tied toward capital improvements. As most of you know, we have a middle school that in 15 years will celebrate its 100th anniversary. It was a public works project during World War II. Some other unique factors that limit us. You know, when I was in school, about 80% of the population came from Virginia City. Right now, about 80% of our population in the secondary schools is bused in from Mark Twain, the Highlands, Gold Hill, and then, of course, Lockwood. School safety is also it's a huge factor everywhere. Our goal someday would be to have all of our schools on one site with fencing. That's something that's right now is not possible at the middle school or Gallagher, as you know, on D Street, the second busiest street in a vibrant tourist town, goes right through the center of it. And then lastly, our current proposed funding model called the Nevada Plan, it's the money's taken out of what is a distributed school account. Not to get into the weeds with it too much, but all that means is Roger Norman and Lance Gilman's great vision of the park has affected everything terrifically, and there's no one that's more proud of that than myself. The way the DSA model is allocated currently, the schools do not see any of those monies at this time. There's only two districts that have exceeded. There's enough local wealth that comes in to where it's exceeded the DSA model. That's Eureka, which has the gold mines between there and Elko County, and then a bit with Lander County. A new study by Augenblick is, you guys have probably heard of it, is out to change the current school funding formula. Unfortunately, they call it the Clark County money grab. If that were to happen, based on the current model, we would lose 25% of our current funding, which is about $1,600 per student. So our proposal, again, new residences only, would be, it stays the same for 2019. 2020, it would go up to $1,000. 2021 up to 1,300, and then 22 and 23 up to the max allowed by NRS, which is $1,600 per house. At that point, it's reviewed again, and then we would go back in front of the commission or not. Do you have anything, Kristen?
No, I think we touched base on all the key points of the residential construction tax. Just to correct one thing. The residential construction tax is for mobile homes, new homes, and apartment buildings. So it does include apartment buildings.
I've got a couple of questions for you, Todd.
Sure.
Well, the $19,000 that was collected, what was the time frame on that?
The last 3 years. In
okay.
15-16, it was around 4,000. 16-17, it was around 6,500. And 17-18, it was nearly 9,000.
Okay, so this tax was enacted 1981 at $500. Was there legislative changes between then and now that was that allowed the counties under 50,000 to escalate from 500 up to $1,600, or was it always $1,600 and Story County just opted to charge 500?
It was from my understanding that it was only $1,600
okay.
when the NRS went into effect and Story County adopted the $500.
And what are these funds used for? How are the construction tax? What does the school use those monies for?
It'll actually go into the general fund.
In general?
Yes. What we would use it for is we would earmark it for specific capital improvement projects.
Okay. All money is money. You can't think too small of it, but I'm just thinking that... it would have been, the collection would have been $57,600 as opposed to $19,000. Over the course of 3 years, it's somewhat negligible when you look at the amount of your annual budget, is it not?
Currently, yes.
Or are we just looking into the future with what the potential for growth might be in the...
Absolutely.
Questions, comments?
I don't have any questions. I think supporting our public school systems is critical right now. Education is critical right now. And so under capitalizing funding isn't a good choice. So I'm comfortable with it. But.
One of the concerns that I had, all the funds collected would only essentially go to repairs. They would not go to construction of new schools, if need be. Is
yeah,
that correct?
I mean, to... Like it's like Marshall said, you know, at the end of the day, it goes into the general fund, so that could change. What we would certainly earmark it for specific capital improvement projects, which could be revitalizing buildings or new school construction as well. I mean, oftentimes, if there's a you know, a big development that comes in, I would assume that that's where most of that money would be earmarked for is new school construction.
Okay. So there aren't any restrictions on what that money can be used for, is what I'm asking.
Not in the NRS that I read, but I would have to sit down with Mr. Loomis and but the NRS is fairly short on that. So, yeah, I have not seen that
okay.
at all.
I could add to that. It does provide in subsection 5 that must be deposited with the county treasurer and the school district's fund for capital projects to be held and expended in the same manner as other money deposited in that fund.
Thank you.
And of course, we've got four aging schools and two aging gymnasiums that are always always in need of repair, right?
Absolutely. And I would love to at some point share a vision that Pat and I have shared. I don't know what Mr. Witt shared with you or not about that. It's the most excited I've been ever about the potential for the future for Story County Schools as well as for Virginia City. But that's a conversation probably for another time. I am going to send out an email to our capital improvement projects team tomorrow, and I'd like to include you guys in that if you're interested in some of that information. At least Pat will have the ability to forward that to you.
Please do.
I think we ought to take a look together also following this to the federal CIPRO funds that I identified earlier, because there is a large war chest back there that's up for the counties for improvement on children, so anybody under 18 years of age. And as long as your capital improvement project qualifies into that, there are federal funds available that aren't matching funds. So we might talk about that.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. I wasn't aware of the exact parameters on it. I knew a little bit about it and kicked some of the information to community chest, but I think you brought up the fact that there's $88 million that may not have all those strings attached. That's really good information that I want to follow up with yourself on.
Good. Good.
Thanks.
Just a point of information, when the middle school gym was brand new, my father was a little boy. It was actually a WPA project.
Yep.
So we have this listed today as the renewal of the residential construction tax. Does that also include an increase at the same time? Is that how this is written?
Right.
Or would we have to look at this as two different subject items, Councilor? Is this simply a renewal of this residential construction tax, or does it include the increase from $500 to $1,600?
Well, I think we have an ordinance addressing the construction tax in the county code. I think what it would require is an ordinance amendment to put it up to the various levels that you want to go through over the years.
Okay, yes, and I believe this was sent to the commission February 13th, and it talks about that tiered step in, which is, again, no change for this year, 20 at $1,000, 2021 at $1,300, and then 2023 at $1,600. Then it'll come back up for a potential renewal or not. Yes, and just to say this, if the abatements come off, then we probably won't be coming back for a renewal.
All right. So we schedule this for an ordinance workshop going forward, Keith?
We could do that, or we could schedule it for just consideration of a first reading of an ordinance. I would like to take a look. I mean, usually these tax statutes have some processes you have to go through, and I'm not familiar with this one, but if we can do it by an ordinance, first reading of an ordinance, well, I'm happy to get it done that way.
Okay. Anybody have any more questions or concerns?
No.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll open up. Is there any public comment on this item? For anybody? Okay. I didn't read the motion. How does the motion read?
Well, I think the motion is going to change. The motion would be to direct staff
to take a look at the process.
To take a look at the process and possibly draft an amended ordinance.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to request that staff take a look at this particular document and with the renewal and come back to us with a recommendation for the ordinance.
Okay. A motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. If I call for the vote, you're good with that?
Yes, thank you for your time.
Right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Call me on timeline.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, at this time, we're going to move on to item number 12, discussion of possible action, selection of an auditor for Story County for the year ended June 30th, 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. This is a requirement by NRS 354-624 on the selection before they actually start their work. My recommendation is to continue using DePietro and Thornton, CPA, LTD, for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2019. This would be their second engagement with us, or third engagement with us, and the first two have been great. I mean, there's obviously those periods where it's the gathering of information, but I think the job that this firm has done, they have been very progressive. They have given us great insight on some things. They have taken the GASB rulings and all of the things that, you know, we look at and has probably given us some great help on that. We're going to have to do an extensive OPEB concentrated on our employees to get a new base for this next year. I think they've done a good job. They come in reasonably, and the good thing about this is if we need them or we call them or we want to go down and meet with them, whatever, there's no bill that comes after that. So they're very reasonable, very professional, and my recommendation is that we continue with them for next year.
Okay. I certainly concur.
All right. Commissioners, have any questions for you?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve selection of an auditor.
Per NRS 354.624, the Story County Commissioners do hereby select DePietro and Thornton, CPA, LTD, as the auditor for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2019.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve DePietro and Thornton as the county auditor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you.
Item number 13. At this time, we'll recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board, which brings us up next to item number 14, with discussion of possible action. First reading for nonprofit on sale liquor license for the Esquire Masonic Lodge number 7, P.O. Box 34, Virginia, Nevada, 89440. I probably butchered the name of the Masonic Lodge, but the sheriff can help me out with that.
No, I can't. I refer to them as the Masonic Lodge. this is the first reading, mostly just the application of process. However, we have completed our investigation on them, and I'll be coming back at the next agenda for the second reading. They are in good standing with their parent organization, their national, international lodge. Jim Clark, I think most everybody here knows him, is the board member who's named the license will actually be issued, and it'll be under the lodge, but he'll be the responsible party. So we found absolutely no reason to deny them. It'll be used for their events and stuff that they have there at the lodge.
Are you a member of that lodge?
I am not.
You're not.
Too much question, secret handshakes for me.
Yeah. My thought was, do they even need to have a liquor license for the fact that they're not open to the public, and this is...
Well, they do host a number of public events.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they do. I think it's a breakfast or dinner or something they do once every month or two. And they do have events there. They rent out their hall on occasion for public events, and they want to be able to increase their appeal.
I didn't know that non-members were allowed on the property, so, okay.
They won't shoot you if you go on the property.
Okay. All right.
And they do a good breakfast.
Very good. Any commissioners have questions for the sheriff on this item?
No, sir.
No. I think for an abundance of caution, I should go ahead and do a disclosure that I, too, have a liquor license in proximity to the to the lodge down there. My voting on this matter would no way affect the lodge as it would any other person applying for the same license.
So I'm going to make the same disclosure that the Chairman McBride just did.
Anyone else? Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Hearing nothing else, we can go ahead and get a motion to approve.
I'll motion to approve the first reading for the nonprofit on sale liquor license for the Escurial Masonic Lodge. I tried. Number 7, P.O. Box 34, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, at this time we're going to recess and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us up to item number 16, discussion of possible action, approval of business license, second readings.
Mr. Chairman, on behalf of Community Development, we're recommending approval of items A through F as they appear on your agenda and in your packet.
Very good. Is there any public comment regarding these items up for approval? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moving a second to approve all business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 17, public comment. Any public comment today? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned. See you on April 2nd. Aloha.